Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Good morning, and thank you for that song. Praise team, that was one of my very favorites. God bless you for that. It's good to see you this morning. I know there's a lot of folk that are sick and not up to par today. I just pray that you keep them in prayer. This morning, I've even got started off wrong. When you ever get off your schedule and everything just seems to go differently. And I apologize to Chris. Normally you're used to having scripture and everything on the board, and you won't have it today. Maybe the first ones, but I love the computer, and I hate the computer. You know what I mean? It's this love-hate relationship we have. I thought I had put all this together, and apparently I must have sent receive instead of hitting send. I don't know what happened, but it's gone. Period. You know, usually it doesn't even disappear. But at any rate, it's where it is. This morning I got up if you didn't see me in church this morning, Roy Hulbert preached over at Tim Dupree's church in Jacksonville today, and I went over to listen to him preach. So I've been blessed already. So you guys, you know, whatever you get today, I don't know, but I've already had my blessing. Amen. I read this little prayer this week, and you may think it's funny, and I don't know, but I'm going to share it with you. I thought it was interesting at the time that I read it. It said, God grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway. The good fortune to run into the ones that I do. And the eyesight to tell the difference. The title of the message today, which was quite clever, I think, and it's not up here, is 2020 Vision in 2020, okay? Yeah, it's just amazing. I had some really neat pictures and everything to show with you, but at any rate, you know, you just have to use your imagination with some of those things today. This week, Kim and I have thought a lot, I guess, about the passing of time and how quickly it has come and gone, hasn't it? We've been here 2 years this February. It's really hard to believe. Seems like 50. No, it has been a real blessing. We're grateful to have been here. You know, we've had a lot of experiences in our life this year. I mean, I just listened to what's going on in the news in just the past couple of weeks. What crazy stuff is happening in the world. But just the things that have happened in our life, you know, we've had time or had to look at things, I guess, a bit differently. Also because of the circumstances that are in our lives. This past year, our daughter, Kai, a daughter-in-law, she's our daughter, has been with us a whole year. What a wonderful blessing she's been in our family's life, just to have got to know her so well in this year. My sweet Kim has been retired for a whole year, and she is an exceptional retiree. She has gotten that task down very well. It took her a while, but she's really good at it. January the 18th, my dad went to be with Jesus. And for all of you that have lost loved ones, you know, that still takes a while to get used to. Our daughter Kinsey decided that she was going to get married this year. You know, how crazy is that? And then on top of it, she wanted to get married at my grandparents' old farm home place, and so we spent the whole summer just about getting that ready. There's been things that have happened here at Grants Creek. I was just looking at the numbers I keep up with. We've had about 9 people join our church this week, and I know that we've had 8 baptisms and salvations this year. And there's actually been more salvations than that, and I just kept track of the baptisms because there's been folks that, you know, that I know have accepted Jesus here through the working of God's church at Grants Creek. It's exciting, isn't it, when you think of this? And this new year has kind of come upon us, hasn't it? I mean, where did last year go? It's natural for us to kind of look back and see where we've been and kind of analyze what's taking place in our lives. Have you not done that? A new year is also a time to make resolutions. Oh, don't you hate that word too? Make resolutions. How many resolutions have you made over the years? You know, I've made so many to go on a diet and to begin to exercise, and that lasted about, well, maybe 6 days. Because I never seemed to get to the next weekend part. You know, it's just been difficult to make those types of resolutions. But truthfully, we need to resolve some things in our lives, most especially concerning our relationship with Christ. If you're interested in 2020 to be different than 2019, beloved, you got to do things differently in 2020 than you did in 2019. You can't expect things to be different in your life this coming year and don't do anything about it to make a change. If you can't sit back and say, well, you know, I hope that next year is better than it was last year. Well, what is it that you're going to do that's going to make a difference this coming year than you did last year? It's just not going to happen on its own. So when you consider resolutions for the year, don't think about just weight loss and exercise or whatever else that seems to go through our minds as resolutions. And the thing that I ask you to resolve today is that you have a new set of eyes, that you see things differently. How many of you wear glasses in here? Raise your hands. Okay, very good. Just about everybody. It's crazy, isn't it? We all can't see. We have problems seeing. And you go to the eye doctor, and this is one I had. It's one of these neat pictures of one of those charts. You've seen it with the E and the, all those things. And you ever get up there, and the doctor says, read the best line that you can see. And you look, and I can't see any of them. I can't read any of those lines. And then he puts this thing on your face, like it comes from Star Wars, and he starts clicking these things. Click, 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 click. Is that better or that worse? That better, that worse. You ever do that? And then finally, after he puts enough of those lenses in there, and it makes something about that thick, and then he says, now look at it, and you can see, I can read it now. I can read that. But we need some correction to get our vision right, don't we? We can't see without some correction in our vision. And that's what I want you to think about this morning, friends. 2020, I want you all to have an eye exam. Not down at the eye doctors, but beginning right here. I want you to have an eye examination is how we see and what it is that we're trying to focus on. I want our vision at Grants Creek to be 2020 for 2020. And I believe that one of our problems with our vision is that we're looking too far into the future. We're trying to see things way past where we have any really idea of what can take place. We're trying to focus on the things that are temporary and missing out on the things that are right before our eyes that are more lasting. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. Now we're going to read verses 13 through 17. I'm going to ask you if you stand as we read this. James 4, verse 13 through 17. Now this is a very familiar passage, most especially if you are familiar with the reading and or the writing of James. We know that James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he was the head of the church there in Jerusalem. And we believe that he is the author of this particular letter. Beginning at verse 13, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you want to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it," what does it say? Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that we will listen today, and as a church, we will focus in on the things that are important to you rather than the things that seem important to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. James says, now listen. He says, now, right off the bat, now listen. And if it were maybe said in today's language, he might would say, get real. Are you paying attention? Are you listening even to yourself? I want you to think about this. I want you to look at how you talk. I want you to look at how you talk, and what he's saying also here is that I'm approved that you're worldly in the way you think, in the way you talk. You say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Well, what's wrong with that, preacher? Is there anything wrong with that? Well, only one thing. Nowhere in that statement is there any acknowledgement of God being involved with them in that plan. It's just about me, what I'm going to do. You see, it's my plan. It isn't God's plan, but it's my plan. My plan is when I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go today or tomorrow, it says. It's my plan is where I'm going. I'm going to go to this city or that city. It's my plan is the time that I'm going to go and how long I'm going to stay there. It's my plan about making some money. I'm going to carry on business and I'm going to do it. It's my plan. I'm going to make it happen. I'm planning for this to happen. I'm not saying it might happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen because it's my plan. Now, Steve, is there anything wrong with having a positive attitude? No. Nothing wrong with it at all. But I'm positive that a plan like that will fail if you don't include God in it. I am positive of that. When we make plans in our lives that do not include God in them, we are stating that we don't need God because our vision is just fine. I can see fine without God. I don't need a correction to help me see differently. We're capable of making our own decision. And if we can't handle it, if we can't make it happen, then that's normally when we include God in it, right? Once I've put in the effort, once I've done my part, once I've made that try to get it done, if I don't do it then at that time is when I'll call God into it. Is that how that should work? When should God be called into it? Should be called into it in the very beginning, before you ever decide to do anything. Now don't think here, or don't leave here thinking Steve doesn't want us making plans. That's not true. That's not what I'm saying at all. God's a God of planning. God plans. He encourages planning. It was planned that Jesus will be slain before the beginning of time. 1 Peter 1:19 and 20, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world. So God had a plan, didn't he? God had a plan of redemption for our lives. God makes plans. God made plans in Jeremiah 29:11. You know this passage so well. For I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not evil, and to give you a future and hope. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. 2 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God prepared for those who love him. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with him. God has a plan, friends. He's got a plan. And God wants us to make plans. Good plans that are developed with him involved in them. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So you can see that there's nothing wrong with making plans. The problem is when we make plans believing that God has no control over our lives, or that God has no control over the circumstances in the world, or that God has no control over the economy, of the planet. I mean, there's been a lot of things happening this week and this past couple of weeks, and we think, wow, things are just out of control. Beloved, they're not. Things are not out of control. They are exactly as they are to be. If you read your Bible and understand things, you'll see that things are going to come to a point where He's going to make the decision to come back. He already knows when that is. He knows when He's going to send His Son. And He'll come back and rapture the church. It's not unorganized. It's been planned. When Kenzie was little, she used to like to put puzzles together. I mean, from a little bitty thing. She used to like to put puzzles together. And as she got older, she'd get the ones with more and more pieces. You know, started out with those great big ones, you know. That's the ones I could put together. And then she started getting those little ones that you can't even see. And be a thousand of them on the table. And they would be there for a long time, sometimes when the puzzle was very complicated. It would sit on the table for a week, and I made a command decision in the house. I'm tired of eating in the living room. Those things are going to have to go in a box, and at some later age, she's going to put those back together. But we've got to eat around the house. But the problem with putting puzzles together is that sometimes when you try to put a puzzle together when you don't have the picture on the box, you can't figure out where the parts go. You don't know what it's supposed to be. But God is the one who has the plan, not you. So when we're making plans for ourselves, we don't have the picture on the box. God's got the whole picture. He knows where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to stand, and God's got a purpose. The Creator knows all this. He knows where all the puzzle pieces are to be. God knows the outcome of our lives. He's the one that has the plan for each of us. And when we leave Him out of the putting together of our lives, we're going to make mistakes that really don't even need to be made. We'll go through difficult times and wonder why God hasn't helped us through it. We face things that we believe could have been avoided if God had only been more caring. We endure hardships and wonder what God's doing during all of this in our life. It's because so many times we make plans without including God in the midst of them. And let me just ask you this, parents. I want you to just listen to me, because I think you may be sitting there. Yeah, the stuff you're saying, preacher's right, but it doesn't apply to me. You know, now, I want you to just think about this, parents. Those of you that have had children going to college, those of you that got children getting ready to go to college, I want you to think about the decision that you make or have made and where your children attended college. These young men and women will be leaving home for the very first time in their lives, most likely. Go into a place that will most likely have one of the greatest and lasting influences of their lives, of any place that they may ever go. When you were making plans for that school that they were to attend, how much time did you spend on your knees asking God for guidance? Did the plans you made based solely on the tuition? Was it based mainly on just what the subjects were? Was it based on whether or not the school was close to me? Or maybe in some of your cases that it was far away? I wonder about these things. At any time, did you ask God to help me decide where my baby should go? We're in such a habit of making plans that we don't include God, that we don't even think about it. We buy cars. We buy cars all the time and never consider what God thinks about us buying a new car. Because you know, the reason why is because we know that God might say that you don't need a new car right now. If you've got a little extra money, maybe you should do that. Use that money to help somebody that's in need. I mean, we don't want to hear that from God, so we don't ask God. We buy homes and never ask God's opinion about buying a new house. Perhaps it's because God may say, you don't need that debt right now. You don't need to be locked in a mortgage for the next 30 years of your life. We don't want to know that, so we don't ask God about those things. We don't include God many times because we know that He will not approve of the decisions that we already want to make. We want what we want, so we just do it, right? And when we begin to seek His will in our lives, then we will begin to plan differently. When we seek His wisdom, our decision making will become or begin to change drastically. If you remember, or I didn't put it up, but in back in verse 3 it says, in James 4 it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. We ask for the wrong reasons. And you know why you don't get it? Because it's for the wrong reasons. There's so many temptations for us here in America that live in this land of the free and home of the brave. We believe that we have a God-given right to pursue happiness. It's in the Constitution, right? We've got a God-given right to pursue happiness. And if we have that right, then we should have whatever that makes us happy. If you want a new pair of shoes, you know how to wait till payday. You know how to wait till payday. You know this little card you got in your wallet called Visa? You don't have to wait. Go buy them shoes, and when the bill comes, maybe you'll pay for it, maybe you won't. But I can send it minimum payment for the next 40 years. If we've got somebody that's got a big truck in our neighborhood, a nice big one, big Chevrolet 2500 crew cab, four-wheel drive, yeah. And they've got it. Why can't I have it? You know what I can do? I can get them payments 7, 8, 10 years, you know, so get it down where I can afford it maybe. Do I really need something like that? Because I'm going to tell you, friends, if I were to ask God, should I do this? I know what He's going to tell me. No. No. And I'm not sitting here saying you should have a new car, a new house. I'm not saying that. Don't walk out leaving with that understanding. I'm telling you that you need to be asking God and having Him involved in the decisions that you make every day, all the simple decisions, everything. And see what He does. See what He says. I just say this, God's not going to be involved in any decision that you make that's going to put you financially on the edge. You understand that? There's a lot of people that just live day to day as if everything's going to be taken care of. They don't make no plans at all. You know folks like that? Don't even make a plan at all. Just get up and go. Just whatever. You hear, I hear that term all the time. I'm so sick of that. Whatever. 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 You got to raise your hand when you do it like some kind of oath. Whatever. Solomon described people like this in Solomon 6:6-11. To the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. The ant has a plan, and that plan is to eat in the winter. I got the same plans. I like to eat summer and winter. The person without a plan was going to go hungry. I mean, that's basically what's going to happen. And I could go on and on about laziness, but that's not what I want to talk about today. My original point is that we make plans with little consideration of the fact that we're not in control, listen to me, of anything. You think you are. And of all the things that we're not in control of is our lives. Our lives. Verse 14. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James is saying that your words betray you. You're saying things that you don't even know what you're talking about. You're making plans to do things when you don't even have a clue as to how long you'll even live. I've used this passage, I don't know in how many funerals, to describe the fact that our life compared to eternity is so brief that we should consider the lives around us and take our lives more seriously for the brief amount of time that we have today. I was trying to add up this week how many funerals I've conducted. I've been in the ministry 11 years. And I was just adding up, and I think I've probably done 60 or more funerals in that time. This year I have conducted 10 funerals. This year. And I think the church has probably been involved with 15, 16 funerals or something, Gloria. 17. Listen, I don't care how much you plan, what your plans are for success, the things that you plan to accomplish this year, you're not in control of your life. And you can say, well, I'm a young man, preacher. I got my whole life ahead of you. Your life could be gone before you could get home today. That's why I say, friends, when you get up in the morning, when you lay your head down at night, you should be thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for this breath that I have today. Thank you for the opportunity that I have today. And then when you lay down tonight, say, God, thank you so much that I was able to get up and move and go, and that you left me here on this earth for another day. Thank you, Lord, for that. Because it's been a gift. It's not by any ability that you've done to continue to live another day. I know people that exercise all the time and drop dead on the track. That's why I avoid those places. It's not my resolution to join a gym this year. I'm going to tell you right up front, Kim, it's not going to happen. The last time I joined a gym, I went there and paid my full year's membership right up front. The guy said, come on in, let me give you a tour. I said, don't need to. I know everything you got in there. I know what that stuff looks like. And that was the last time I went in the gym. So there's no need of wasting my money again on it. If our vision for 2020 is focused on the wrong places, this year will be just as uneventful as 2019 was. If you knew that this year, 2020, would be the last year that you lived, or perhaps you somehow knew that Jesus would return, would you live your life differently? Would you? Would people see the difference in your life? Would you treat people differently? Would your stress levels be lowered? If you knew this was the last, would your work schedule change? Would your mood swings in? What about your temper? Any of you got a bad temper? Don't raise your hand. Would you learn to control that differently? Would you sleep better? Would you see a sunset differently? Would you spend more time laying in the backyard with your kids or your grandchildren just looking up at the stars in amazement? If you knew. Truth is, we don't know when Jesus is going to return. We don't know when this life of ours will end. You and I don't know when the next breath that we have will be. So with that knowledge, will you approach this brand new year just like another year? How can you and I make the most of this year that's before us? How can we make sure to embrace this new year with a different attitude? How many of you have ever been disappointed? Nobody. Okay, great. Well, this sermon may disappoint you, so just you can add this one to you later. Thinking something that was going to happen that didn't. Planning to get a raise from your employer and then you actually bought something before you got the raise and then you found out you weren't going to get it. You ever done that? Planning that somebody was going to come by and see you, spend some time with you. You made all these preparations, bought all this food, cleaned a house because you don't normally clean it. You cleaned a house, ready for them to come, and for some reason they didn't show up, right? Planning that you would work for this particular company until you were ready to retire. And then at age 55, you found out they're going to close the doors and now you got to start all over again. I had a good friend. I've told you about him and I'm not going to spend a lot of time about this, but I had a real good friend that I worked with for. I worked at a warehouser for 24 years. I worked with this man for 13 of those years. And he had plans to retire really soon. He bought him a nice big RV, had put a pool in the house, remodeled his place, had a brand new grandbaby. He just had these plans of going to retire. We're going to retire next year. I'm going to spend time with my grandbaby, and we're going to travel around the United States and enjoy it. He went to visit a doctor, and he told me he had pancreatic cancer. And I preached his funeral 6 months later. Making plans. All the plans that we make without considering the Lord, friends, is just basically foolish. Because of this one basic thing, we don't have any control over the time that we have to live. Now, you're sitting here this morning, and I know that many of you are making plans right now as I preach. Don't you lie. I know you are. Where are we going to go after we get through with this? I wonder what restaurant will still be open by the time he finishes. I know it. I know those things. Plans about the things that you're going to do tomorrow, but you don't even know if there will be a tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. The emergency room is full of people that had plans for today. Cemetery is full of people that had plans for today. And let me just tell you this too, friends. I've walked through many a cemetery here lately. And I like to look at the dates. You know what I see in them now? There's a lot of them with the same dates that I was born in. There used to be, you know, people that were really old, right? But a lot of folk that are in there are my age. You can't plan your life independent from God. And I think about all the plans that I've made in my life and how some have come about and how many did not. And I can look at them and realize that the ones that didn't come about were those that I didn't include God in. Things that I just decided was okay for me. Akeem and I would just do this thing. Why do we not include God? I'm curious because he's the one who sees the beginning and the ending of our life anyway. Why would we not include the one that has all that knowledge? I mean, we always ask for advice and wisdom. Why do we not include the one that already knows all of these things already? Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Wow. Simple enough. Let me tell you, you look at that and just say, well, that's just something to say. I'm telling you, it's an attitude, it's a mindset, and when you begin to say this, when you begin to have that attitude and conversation, I'll be there, I'll do this if it's the Lord's will. I'm going to be over there next week if it's the Lord's will. We'll see you Sunday night if it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will for my life, that's what it begins to make me think differently, and it makes me become to realize that I'm dependent on God for everything, not on me. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. It causes me to become flexible. Bendable. No, not bendable. But I mean flexible. That I can adapt and I can adjust to things. Flexible enough that you can bend to the will of God. That you're not so rigid that it's got to happen this way or I'm just going to be disappointed. And if we're flexible, then we don't walk around in a state of disappointment. And I see a lot of disappointed Christians every day because things just haven't gone the way they planned. And if things don't go my way, then I'm going to whine and I'm going to complain and I'm going to gripe to everybody that I know. I'm just telling you, friends, if you're more bendable, more adaptable, then you won't be disappointed nearly as often. If you're not so rigid, then we can adjust to the circumstances that happen all around us. So what if I don't get the raise? So what if I don't get that new Chevrolet quad cab, 2500 4x4? What if I don't attend the college that I wanted to attend? So what? So what? Our daughter-in-law applied for a job close to home, and you know, we're all excited about, you know, things that are happening in our life right now. But she applied for a job close to home, which we know would be real good for. And I'm here like making plans. I go, all right, here's what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to talk with them. You need to bring this. And you know what my son said? Hey, Dad, if it's God's will, she'll get the job. If it's God's will, we'll be right here. And here I am. I'm the one teaching this stuff, and I'm the one that needs to be sitting there listening to this stuff. I need to listen to my son more often. The thing is, when we begin to adapt to what God is, we just realize that I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay with whatever God wants in my life. I'm okay with that. If your vision for 2020 is seen by looking through the lenses that the Lord provides, then you will not be upset every time that there's a seeming crisis in your life. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. And 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His presence. And the next word is really interesting, it says continually. That's one you need to write down. 1 Chronicles 16:11. James now gives us good instruction about our boasts, how we tend to congratulate ourselves on our accomplishments. In verse 16 and 17, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, what? Sins. Be careful as to what you boast, friends. We too often brag about such things in our lives, but we don't have all the facts concerning our lives. This word boast is kind of interesting. It came from the people that would peddle their elixirs. You know, those things that would cure everything. You know, if you've got arthritis, this stuff here will work. If you've got stomach aches, the same bottle, it'll do that. And if you need to change the color of your hair, it would do that also. It was able to cure anything that was ailing you, which was a lie. It was boasting on something that it could not deliver. That's where this word comes from. It's boasting on something that it could not deliver. And when we boast in such a way, it's evil. Jeremiah says this. So you listen to me. Jeremiah 9:23-24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or his strong, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. You want to boast in something? Boast in the fact that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You want to brag to somebody about something? Brag about that fact. Don't brag about how smart you are. I can tell you, God can take them smarts right away from you. You won't even remember your name tomorrow if it's God's will. You might think you got a lot of money in the bank. You might check it tomorrow and there might be not a dime in there. Don't brag about how strong you are. You may be bedridden next week and not be able to ever get out of bed again. You want to brag about something, friends? I'm just telling you, brag about Jesus. Amen? Brag about your relationship with the Lord. Don't brag about the plans you got for your life. You keep on making plans to get to the top, and you make those plans without God, friends, you'll be at the top all by yourself. I know a lot of folks at the top don't have nobody there with them. Everybody knows the story of the Titanic, right? Great ship, indestructible. On its maiden voyage, hit an iceberg, and now it's at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. First time out, had great plans, and people that were on that boat had great plans. They were going to plan to have a great time, planning to go up to America, planning to do a lot of different things, had lots of plans, and hundreds of them died now, and also are at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. It's not a matter of whether you have made good plans, because things happen, right? You have no control over the stuff that happens in life. And it's foolish to ignore that stuff happens and that you can plan around the stuff. Everybody's trying to make contingencies about things, right? We'll plan for this, and if that don't work, we'll plan for this one. And we've got plan A, plan B, plan C. If that one don't work, we'll use plan Z, right? We're not going to be disappointed because we've got a plan for everything. The important thing that you should plan for if you're on life's Titanic is that you have a life jacket. Amen? Where do we get our life jacket? Well, Jesus Christ is our life jacket, friends. You're not going to be able to control the boat, but you can put the life jacket on so that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the circumstance, or wherever it is that you may be, you will not be lost. You'll survive. Do you plan to have a prosperous new year? I mean, that's not wrong to say that. Do you plan to have a prosperous new year? I know every one of y'all ate some black-eyed peas. I saw how many got ate the other night. And we want to have success. We want to have success in our family, right? We want to have success within this church. Lots of questions for the new year, right? Should I expand my business? Should I have another baby? Does God want me to change jobs? This person that I'm dating, is that the one that God wants me to marry? Or is there somebody else? Is this the church that I'm attending? Is this the place God wants me to be at? Is it? I'm going to give you this final thing that I believe that should be a part of the ingredients. It'll be 2020 vision for 2020. Now listen to me carefully. It's really complicated. Pray. Pray. I mean, be serious in your prayers. Spend your time praying to God, asking His instruction, asking His guidance, seeking what it is that He wants, even if it's not what it is that you want, trusting in Him. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, listen to me, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. God will give you the answer. God will give you the peace. I believe that if we will bring all of our questions that come up this year to God before making any life-altering decisions, that He will make the answers known to us. I do believe it. And let me just say this so you'll focus on what's important this year. Jesus clearly teaches us that we are to love the God, Lord God, with all our hearts and all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And the second is what, Roy? You told us today, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And when you get to the end of this year, or for that matter, the end of your life, I'm telling you this, friends, you won't be thinking, I wish I'd have spent more time at the ball games. I wish I'd have bought that new car. Now, you won't be saying, I wish I'd have worked more hours so that I could have had some more things. Now, what you'll say is, I wish that I could have spent more time with those that are around me. I wish I'd have loved them more. I wish I'd have forgiven them more often. And that's what you really say when your time is up. So what really matters to you this year? Kim and I are having a new baby. Well, we're not having a new baby. But it is ours, isn't it, Kim? She's already told me my office at the house was gone and there's going to be a crib in there. I'm just thankful I'm still in the house. Kind matter having a new baby. And I think about all the things that I did as a dad that I wish I had done differently. You dads ever feel that way? Think about all the things that you might would have done differently. I told Kim just this past week, I am certain of one thing that I'm going to do with the opportunity that I have with this new child. I am going to pour Jesus into that baby. I am going to let that baby know who Jesus Christ is. That child is going to be graduated in seminary by sixth grade. My resolution this year is to obey the command of God by doing what He told the Israelites to do. In Deuteronomy, what He told the children to do. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up.
Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I'm telling you, friends, I'm going to tell my baby about Jesus Christ. He's going to know all about him. He is. The reason that my vision was blurry for so long is that I was looking through the wrong set of glasses. I was trying to focus on things that were all about me. But when I got fitted with these new glasses, I began to see things more clearly. When I began to hold this before me, and every time and everything that I did, I began to understand things a little bit differently. I began to see things as they should be seen and not as how I wanted them to be seen. Beloved, I pray that our vision will improve this year. But it won't happen until you get fitted with the right pair of glasses. You'll never have 20/20 vision until you get that much-needed eye examination. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let our resolution be this year, 2020 vision for the year 2020. Amen. Father God, I thank You for this opportunity that You've got before us. I pray we open our eyes. I pray we see clearly what it is that You would have us to see. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.